Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut, and every Monday you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Marketers are so, that's why I said marketers ruin things, right? They make us spend more and
but
more.
But you train
more
marketers,
they
tap, no,
that's why I mean,
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut.
Hi, Eric here, Mr. Positivity.
Hi, I'm Dawn, only female here, as you can see.
For the longest time, the whole set has just been you.
We need a female.
We need more, yes.
Hi, my name is Raming. I'm one half of the Woke Ceremony, and unfortunately, Dawn, I'm not a female. So, you have to do this episode
but,
for
but,
one.
But you yeah. can, you are my OG fan, so it's okay.
Yeah, all right.
Today we want to talk about this. It's quite a topic in the personal finance space. Everyone guts against it. Everyone talks about this. It's held on a pedestal, and that's called lifestyle inflation, right? And I wanted to bring up this topic because recently, I know prices are up, you know, inflation, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people are thinking of like austerity measures, how do we cut back and all that, right? So it's all kind of along the same line of like being prudent, you know, spending less, blah, blah. You know, I think our minister say, right, oh, if chicken expensive, buy fish, right? And then the comment section was like, fish more expensive, right? So, you know, some of these things, you know, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but the idea here is there's a lot of this idea on like you know, like you must guard against lifestyle inflation, cannot spend more, you know, be a student forever, you know, or like live like a uni kid for like 5 more years into your career. And I come from the camp that I do not agree with this, right? So I want to hear where do you guys are at, you know, is lifestyle inflation that bad? Maybe you can start.
Well, I think having austerity measures on yourself, at least at the start of your financial journey, can help you go a long way. I think like when it comes to finances, it's kind of like, have you all seen like hang glider? Like how it operates? You have to run at the start. Now that it glides by itself. If you run for too long, I mean, then you're, and that's like pursuing austerity for too long. You're just running and not flying. So I feel like there is a place for austerity measures, but maybe only like in the beginning part where you build out your finances. In the long term, I don't think it's very sustainable. Being too prudent when taken to the extreme will kind of like sacrifice other aspects of your health. I mean, I believe there's like financial health, there's like mental health, then
social currency.
Yeah, the social currency. There's also your physical health. And sometimes when you prioritize financial health above all three, then you have to make trade-offs. And I think that is when people will call you kiam siap.
Which is not inherently a problem unless you want to be part of the group or something, right? That depends on where you are positioned on.
But I think once you, people say cancel that, I mean, that's like a loss in social currency a little bit. Really. Like, for example, oh, I don't want to hang out with me because you always wear cancer.
So is it true?
No, I don't think so. No, but I think like, but there is the danger for many people in the personal finance space who just zoom in on saving the most as possible to fall in that trap very easily.
And ignoring everything else.
Because I think Warren Buffett say, right, like, price is what you pay, value is what you get. Many people get fixated on the price.
But they forget
But forget like the value they're actually getting by being kiam siap.
So do you agree that lifestyle inflation is bad, or do you think it's not bad, or where are you on this?
I mean, as a personal finance guy, I think my default position is bad. Right, my default position is that lifestyle inflation
seems to be the normal answer.
It's bad.
We've asked multiple people this question, and that is the default position.
Yeah. I mean, I have to examine.
Okay, I'm here to back you up.
Yeah, no, because like the word lifestyle inflation already implies like you are inflating your lifestyle. But if you can increase, if you inflate your lifestyle at the same rate where your earnings inflate, then that's okay. Right?
No.
I think that's okay.
No, then you don't get anywhere.
Why?
You must inflate your earnings more than you inflate your lifestyle.
At least Okay, so we're talking about like the, you know, remember I talked about like the hang glider phase?
Yeah.
You run lah. I mean, you definitely need a phase where you run, but at some point you need to enjoy the money that you made a bit.
Mm, yeah, exactly. I'm the personal finance girl, right?
Wow.
And I also agree that it's bad. I think inherently it leans towards being bad, because if we don't consciously control the power that it can have over us, we will become its victim. But if we learn to consciously control and make adjustments when we need to, then we can benefit from it.
Mm.
So some examples, right? Yes. Lifestyle inflation also has two aspects. One is the part that we can control, which is our spending and what we choose to spend on. The other one is the one that we have to pay at all costs, and the price is not being set by us. So like your bank mortgage rates, which all the banks are increasing right now, or like the price of chicken, or your price
you
of housing.
You
don't
the chicken example.
You say okay, the chicken.
Yeah. Okay, welcome to my camp. Yes, yes.
And then like the price of housing, the price of education, you don't have a say. So you can try and live for a uni student, but you cannot like, I used to, when in my early days when I was running, right, I would make myself try and keep to spend $500 a month, because that's all the allowance that I got
as a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but as a kid, as a uni kid, sorry. Mm. But it got to a stage where I couldn't do that, because then my phone bills, and back then the SIM only plans, huh? You remember? Mm. Back then, the plans were expensive and there were so many other things to pay for. So these are out of your control. And that's where you have to, you cannot moderate. No matter what you do, you cannot, right? So now we're living in a world of higher inflation, and we just can't do anything about that. But what we can do is to potentially like cut down on the other aspects. So part of lifestyle inflation also is keeping up with the Joneses. And if you see everyone wearing, like for example, branded bags, branded shoes, all go towards like private housing, condo, landed, right? But you don't think you can afford that, and you'll be a drain on your finance, then it's really about controlling and preventing that from getting to you. Because it's very easy for something to become a norm. I was just talking about this with my husband recently, because when I was much younger, right, I wasn't into like the whole Adidas, Puma kind of things. I felt it was very expensive because my parents didn't give me that much money. We were from a low middle income family. And to spend, the thought of spending $80, $90 on a pair of sneakers was just appalling to me. But then, now, I'm the one paying $120 for that pair of sneakers. And I tell my husband that it makes me feel good and I'm very happy. And then I'm like, oh no, but I only wore it 3 times so far. I need to wear it more. So the utility cost, right? So it's that consciousness. But I'm aware that I have gotten here because really a lot of people around me are now wearing that, right? So it partly is social driven. It's lifestyle, it's keeping up the Joneses. But I'm also aware that, hey, but I made some money. I have saved for very long. I worked hard for very long. I shouldn't be that hard on myself for wanting this 120 pair of sneakers.
Live a little kind of.
Yeah, I should live a little and enjoy it. Or like recently we booked a trip to another country and I paid $2,000 for just 2 people's tickets. Can you imagine to that country? Wow. I'm not going to say which country, but yeah, it's not normal, right? It's more, that country is more like $700-$800, right? But it's $2,000. And I couldn't control it because the airline went to change the rates. So but what I did was we were thinking about it and we were like,
is it last minute booking?
No, it's for next year. But it raised. I think because we booked it, it so happened that I was looking at it right before the November school holiday started, and I booked it as it started. And then I monitored it for 2 more weeks, but they didn't change the price really. So maybe if I was a bit earlier, that would have been the case. Yeah. But the key thing is recognizing that, oh no, that this is this is something that I can choose to spend on. But yet, I want to enjoy. And we're also thinking, because we're bringing the whole family along, how much more chance will we have? Maybe another COVID or another pandemic will force us to be stuck here again, right? So let's just balance it out. And I think like that consciousness will then stop lifestyle inflation from becoming a bad thing. But if you are not conscious of this, you will just inherently become a victim. Yeah. And you don't know why. You will just suddenly realize you went from spending $20 on shoes to $120 to $200, but
it's just plain good marketing. Marketers are so, that's why I said marketers ruin things, right? They make us spend more and
but
more.
But you train
more
marketers,
that's why I'm from
the camp. Marketers don't exactly make you. I mean, you have your own.
They understand human psychology. They know how to make you spend more.
But you can go understand human psychology. I mean, it's a free market, right?
Self knowledge,
willing seller, willing buyer.
So I don't take that position, but anyway, yes. But I get what you're getting.
But also, like, last time inflation is like regular inflation. Like, normal inflation, 2% is okay, right? But then when inflation is like 9%, is a problem. Same with lifestyle inflation. Let's say, for example, I used to earn $2,000 a month. Then I spend $500. Then suddenly I earn, let's say, I suddenly, you know, make a lot of sales, right? Maybe I earn $50,000 a month. Is it that bad to inflate from 2,000 to 4,000?
No.
Even though it's 100%? Not really. Mm-hmm. But of course, if you...
percentage of your earnings.
Yeah, exactly. But if you go and inflate like way, like 20 times, like if you go spend 40K a month and you earn $40,000 a month, then that's obviously already too much lifestyle inflation.
I think because of the role of marketers and how society is in general, social media pressure, it is easy for you to unknowingly inflate your lifestyle by 2 or 3 times, but not your income. So that's why we have to control.
Yeah, I think no one will inflate their income unknowingly because your boss will not suddenly give you, hey, I'm going to 8 times your salary today. Yeah. Right? No one will do
that. I think it's they inflate and then later have to pay the consequence. That's why so many people are in credit card debts, right?
Yeah.
Because they inflate without, like you said, income inflating.
Okay, ready to hear the rebuttal?
Okay.
Wow, so
okay.
Ready to hear the rebuttal.
For a personal finance guy who does not hold a
stake. By the way, I think I'm on Reggie's side, especially since I'm not a financial guy. But I'll hear Reggie and I'll...
You sure not? We haven't even pack up on this thing.
I don't know what's your point of view.
Okay, let's hear the chief coconut.
Right? Okay, you share first.
Thank you. Please vote for me, okay? Vote for me as a chief. Yes, so I come from a different camp, okay? And the thing is, I think all the pointers are valid, right? In a sense that if you are prudent, you save more money, you compound, you know, you are like gliding, you hang gliding, eventually you fly. All those things are valid, right? It's not that they are wrong, right? Structurally, mathematically, all that jazz. But I come from the view that, right, lifestyle inflation is one of the underpinning goals of why you even venture into this space. Right, it's because you want to get a nicer car, you want to send boy girl to a better school, you want to live a better life. That's why you work harder, right? That's why you come into the space, or you spend weeks and, you know, like every other week you read her blog, you follow their Instagram, you know, you consume content. Every other week, your sole goal is to inflate your lifestyle, right? If not, like, why are you spending so much effort in this, right? It's just whether you inflate now or inflate later. Right?
What if it's not inflate? Some people are just doing this because they want to retire early and then, like, you know, live on a cheap life, like go to Malaysia.
Okay, okay. So that is fair. That's one camp of people, right? But I do believe that many people are trying to inflate their lifestyle. They're trying to buy a better car, better house, nicer way of life, you know, more restaurants, blah, 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 right? So all these things are fundamental incentives for you to then move forward and be incentivized to want to do more.
So you view lifestyle inflation as a motivation.
Yes, I feel it as a motivation, right? And I always thought that, okay, because personal example for me, right? For a long period of time, I didn't feel the need to live better, spend more, blah, blah. So I wasn't incentivized to work much harder. I wasn't incentivized to strategize. I wasn't incentivized to do more. You know, but at some point in time, not too long ago, I was like, yeah, man, I want to make a little bit more money, right? And why? Because I wanted to live a better life. Right. And with that as the anchor of my incentive structures, it then motivates me to do more. Right. So my biggest qualm with a lot of people calling out lifestyle inflation is this idea that, you know, you save now so that you can enjoy the future. You know, like you should save and invest and suppress your desires, suppress your needs, suppress your goals. You know, and for me, it's like this takes a lot of willpower. How long are you going to do it? You know, and all that, right? Which is why I don't disagree with you guys, because I think those are fundamentally accurate, right? But I come from a view that if you take it down one more level to think about why people even do this and participate in this space, it is all with the goal to inflate their lifestyle, right? It is not, it's just about whether is it now or in the future. So it is not bad. It is just what it is.
Well, I think there are so many different degrees you can inflate your lifestyle to. I don't disagree that, you know, people try to build wealth to have a better life. But better life does not always equal to lifestyle inflation. You could inflate your life to a point where your quality of life actually decreases. For example, you enter too much debt, or you start to compare and, like, you get on this endless cycle of, like, buying better and better things. So I think definitely people can increase their income, build wealth to have a better life. But I think there'll be a point in your life where, like, money no longer becomes the primary driver of happiness. It's important for people to recognize that.
Exactly. Like, it is, that could be definitely valid if someone is drawn to the material things in life, especially. So the lifetime inflation, in order to get there, you need money to pay for all of these. But if you're like us, whereby we are of the view that a lot of good things in life are free and you don't have to pay, then that's why we view these things as bad. Because good relationships, you don't necessarily need a lot of money. You don't have to keep eating out restaurants. You can home cook.
Yeah, but relationships get enhanced when you have larger, more money. Money buys experiences. Yeah, but you
don't need so
much.
So you don't need it to be such a strong driver to work so hard. You just need
So let's say someone has $0. Yeah. Having like 100k would definitely improve their quality of life. It would be a good enabler. 100k to 500k, I think it will still be improved. Let's say 500k to $1 million, I think that's when the marginal utility starts to decrease. And
Ming speaking from recent experience.
And I think it's important for people to realize that you know, after a certain point, like money isn't that important. Because let's say you go from like 1 million, 2 million. Because to earn the extra like $1 million, you obviously need time to do it. And we are on like Earth for a limited amount of time. How much time you want to spend earning money instead of like being happy?
Yeah. But I think there are a few things here, right? Like in your... And the divergence comes in the definition of lifestyle inflation, right? I think in both of your case, right, there's quite a clear idea of lifestyle inflation as you buying more than what you can actually afford.
Yeah.
Right, and then you get to a point where you start to accumulate debt. You know, you accumulate debt to consume, and it becomes problematic. And then you end up having to pay.
You compromise your future because you're chasing debt now.
Okay. Fair. So I think that is a valid point, right? In that situation, which I will not even argue that it's narrow, because I do think a lot of people fall into that camp. And before I started doing financial content, I didn't realize a lot of people in that camp. But I started doing it, right? And I started asking my friends, hey, you got credit card there or not? Hey, I want to do a content. Can you come on the show? Nobody wants to come on, but everybody got credit card. Yeah, so it becomes a reality check for me also. It's like, oh, actually, a lot of people are in this group, right? But also, at the same time, I've talked to other people that share the view that I hold, you know, which is that if I don't want to inflate my lifestyle, then what am I doing for? But you can argue that they are inflating relatively prudently. Mm. Like they are inflating faster than a lot of people because they make more along the way, you know, but they are not like scrimping and saving and all that, right? So at some point, I think we have to realize that it is not about dissing a certain idea in the sense that, oh, you know, you shouldn't inflate, you know, you must eat cai peng every day. I've had annoyed when people tell me, oh, I eat cai peng every day, I find bliss in that. I was like, okay, Ken, it's fine, okay? I'm annoyed in the way that you hold it up on everyone else. If you don't, then it's okay, right? Oh, this is your life choice. This is your thing.
Okay, so I hear both points, right? I have another point
of view. I love that this day, today got very divergent. I love it. Because some of our listeners say, y'all agree the pointers when you go.
No, not true, actually. We didn't prepare our answers.
Never.
Okay, you must understand that three of you guys are financial bloggers. I'm more of a consumer, right? So there's this book that really influenced me a lot about money. And this guy is called Dan Lok. And he has this book called FU Money. The FU Money is mind-blowing for me because it changed the whole framework. You know, a lot of time is, oh, I need to save the money, Then after that, I keep a portion and I enjoy it, right? So FU Money changed my entire paradigm. He says, You think about what kind of life you want first. Because ultimately, money is a means to an end. Right? So he also has to think about life. You know, what kind of house you want to stay in. How many holidays you want to go. How many days you want to work. So design that life first. Then go and find out the price. So for example, right, like one of the things I wanted is I want to have a beach house. And so he actually made me go research a beach house.
B-E-A-C-H.
B-E-A-C-H. Beach. Well, the beach. Beach house. Right.
And you know PG, the cool part, content, right? PG. I cannot control myself.
The cool part, right, is that in that process, so number one is that psychologically, it gets me in a envisioned state because we all know your focus is your reality, right? That everything is created twice, first in your mind, then your reality. So the fact that I'm at this age, I'm already researching, you know, my dream home. So I went to search, I actually worked through the price. So psychologically, I'm already involved in that process. I'm already accelerating that reality. It's very powerful. Then I know exactly what's that price. I add up together. I realize that, oh, I actually do not need as much money as I thought I need. And so now I have a goal. I have a goal that I need to make this amount of money. I give it to my financial advisor and then he can come up with a plan or I can do it myself. But then if that's the case, we can kill two birds with one stone. Because number one is you get to have the life that you want without having too much money. Because there's a saying, right, that it will be excellent if the day you die is when the day the bank account is zero. I mean, assuming that you already gave away all the money.
Last check must bounce theory.
Yeah. Mm. I think it would be beautiful. So I like the listeners to consider the fact that there are many approaches. No one is right. Just see which one resonates with you. I resonate with the idea of not trying to just save because it just makes me very restricted. So maybe something for you guys to try out, which is go plan the kind of life that you want and really dream big, right? And then go and research it because the researching itself makes it real. And then now, like what Reggie said, that you'll be motivated to go figure out how to get there, then that's where we can talk to you guys to teach us how to get there in a logical, predictable manner. Then we can have a win-win.
And then applying what we say.
Yes, because it's very legit stuff.
Yeah, and at the same time also, it would be recognizing what doesn't fall in that dream that you want, that society is trying to impose on you through like natural lifestyle inflation or perceived lifestyle inflation, but it's not what you want. So then you can kick it off.
And then you can kick it off. Yes, so yes. That thing might change, but it's based on because what you want, not because Adidas say that you must buy that.
Yeah, like you don't need Adidas shoes to want the beach. Yeah, you just need Crocs.
Adidas must pay me to wear. It's different.
Well,
I don't pay to wear, and I'm not sure you can email me here.
Okay.
So the key thing is don't let your existing bank account, don't let your existing skill set limit the kind of lifestyle that you desire. Set that first. Dream big first. Then come up with a concrete plan.
Yeah, dream already must wake up.
Okay, yeah, wake up to execute your dream.
Like,
right?
Dream. Yeah. You must wake up and get it going.
And get it going.
Okay? Yeah. Well, please don't just dream.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, I once again come back to the point that I do not disagree with those pointers, right? It's like compounding is a valid, you know, like well-proven documented idea. It is not.
But you disagree is the definition and how it is being used.
Yes, and how it's being used, and that once you recognize that internally and underlying, we are all just trying to do a little bit better, and we're all on some level inflating that way of life or in our way of life. I think that is the camp that I want to kind of push a little bit more of for us to think about. You know, but I also agree with the part of like, you know, there's some things that actually eventually you don't want one. You don't want to spend. You know, but you're kind of stuck in this whole cycle, you know, of endless consumption.
So what is one lifestyle inflation that you guys feel compelled to, but you don't want to or you don't see the value of? But everyone around you is like
but
going
you're compelled
towards
to.
That. Yeah, you feel compelled to. Because a lot of lifestyle inflation, I give one example, but you all cannot use this example.
Wow.
Okay. In Singapore, there are a lot of people who say that they now feel compelled to go towards private housing.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Man, that's going to be my one.
Yeah. Or even like the sell one, buy two, which was very popular just a few years ago. So they feel compelled to do
now.
That.
Yeah.
But yet, it may not be something that they wanted in the first place. And another approach could have been, instead of going through that method, and then, you know, in the end, because you sell one, you buy two, you finance the two, which is more expensive. Yeah, sure, you pull all the strategies and all their ways, and we teach you how to do that as well. Later on, the end goal is still you sell the two and downgrade to the one. When you could have actually just started with one and just stayed there. And then find other means of achieving the money that you could have gone through this by, let's say, investing in your career or doing other things, side hustles and stuff like that to get to the same end goal, right? So that's one example that I see a lot in Singapore. What's one thing that you're personally felt?
Wait, I want to just add on that point, right? Like, you guys should check out Investment Modes article. I know everybody knows Keith, right, from Investment Modes. He wrote an article about how the property market in Singapore will eventually perform like a junk bond, perform aligned with junk bonds, because he went to chart how the prices are moving and how more and more of these kind of government cooling measures and ABSD, all that, it's just really taxing the capital gains on top, right? So eventually he said that Singapore property is going to perform like a junk bond. Why not you just buy a junk bond? Don't need to care so much about all those other things, right? Because there's a lot more uncertainties that are part and parcel of like owning properties and all that, you know, and how Singapore government is using it as a way to make money, right? And welcoming all this foreign capital to come in. You want to put money in Singapore? Okay, you buy a property, we tax, right? So that's a different thing. Check out Keith's article. I thought that was very, very interesting. Yeah.
I think for me, it would be a car. Right? I think car is something that you should only buy if you need it. If you, let's say you have like elderly parents or
young kids,
or you kind of like make like more than 3 or 4 trips a day. Because if not, like your need is served by public transport or even cycling. But I've heard people say before, like, you know, now I earn $8,000. It's time for me to buy a car. Then they'll drive that. A very expensive 6-figure car, you know, back and forth to work every day, where it spends most of time in the parking lot. I feel like that is the classic example of lifestyle inflation that actually comes back to bite most Singaporeans in the butt after 10 years. Because you buy a car now during times are good, but as you age closer and closer to retirement, you realize like, oh shit, you know, maybe I should not have bought that car 10 years ago. But by then, it's too late already. So I think car is like the classic one. Of course, I'm not saying like a car is bad. If you earn enough, you can shrug off like a 6-figure loss, you know, over 10 years. I think that's fine. But I think for most people, for most average Singaporeans, even those who earn like as high as 8 to 10K, you know, a car might not be necessary. So before you buy a car, you know, do consider whether you need it and whether or not you would regret that in the long run.
My family owns a car. But our decision to that was less based on feeling like we needed to, but more of number one, we had kids. And number 2, I went to calculate how much would it cost if we own a car versus if I take Grab everywhere instead. And then I calculate, it makes more sense to own a car plus got convenience and, you know, okay, let's just go for the car. So it's a very conscious effort instead of letting the lifestyle inflation, how to buy a car, sit in and like
influence. And that's the part that I think is important, right? So I come from the camp that, you know, it's not about not spending, it's about spending well. Right? So spending well
means what serves your needs. And not society or like the car dealer.
Right, and that is a big part of you needing to be aware of how you spend.
Yeah.
Right. And I think was it Lisa? Lisa's Adulting, they are doing this whole thing about like low buy, no buy year.
Yeah.
Which is not, she didn't come with the idea, but she has adopted it. And I think that is a great place to start. Right. Especially now inflation, right? Then if you don't buy, right, then you don't suck up the inflation, you know. Right, because you don't buy anything, right? So the inflation does not come to you.
Then you still consume electricity.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair. I mean, there's some point, but I know the SP power you should.
Trying your best. Trying your best.
Yeah. So just try your best. So it's not about like zero at all, right? But it's just really, if you go through a year of not buying anything and you kind of document like what is triggering you to buy something, you know, or like what is enticing you, and then you kind of document this over time, it gives you a bit of clarity of like, what do you really want and what do you not want? Right, and eventually after this like detox year, right, where you don't endlessly consume, you become a lot clearer what you want, and you can double down, right? So now instead of buying what everybody wants you to buy or buying what merchants want you to buy or all that, which I think that's where a lot of people constitute lifestyle inflation, you can buy the things that matter to you, right? And when you buy the things that matter to you,
you'll be happier as well.
It lives a great life. You spend well. You know, you can allocate your capital better.
You probably want to stop watching TV and stop going social media and stop going anywhere that people run ads.
I don't have TV at home. Because I don't.
So that helps, lah.
Nobody.
I mean, to be honest, sometimes social media is more harm than good, especially if you follow.
You can curate.
Especially if you follow like a lot of like
influencers that make us spend
like who, like who, like who, like who.
I'm not comfortable with sharing. Yeah. I mean, in general,
You
know,
you got followed by Jeff, babe.
Yeah.
I'm the producer, right? My goal is to get it viral, right? Best thing is to like chant. It's like, oh, viral. Right. So
you see like influencers, they dress very nicely, or like they go on very nice holidays.
And that's part of the whole commercial thing, right?
That's the whole game, right?
But it's part of it. So sometimes I think like, you can unfollow or mute people for a while. I think you'll do wonders for your mental health and also the tendency to go compare with others.
The need to spend.
Because, you know, I think, is it the Bible that says comparison is the thief of joy? It's actually linked to, I actually found like studies that actually support that. This theory called relative deprivation. It's when you look at other people and see how much more they have.
Yeah.
And then that results in a feeling of unhappiness.
Yeah, FOMO, and then you want it
too. And I feel like a lot of unhappiness actually comes from that. So understanding that this concept actually exists, I think that will help a lot of people deal with lifestyle inflation.
I use that, you know, but in the opposite manner.
Share.
Yeah. Relative abundance. I look at other people and I see what they don't have that I have. And I feel very happy. Mm. Oh. And not happy. It sounds make me
grateful,
feel
grateful. Looking for
yeah,
grateful.
I feel very grateful. And then I'm more conscious that I am very lucky despite how shitty my day or whatever it is. Mm. Instead of looking at other people like, oh, he or she has it and I don't have. I also look downwards. And then I try to strike the balance. I think that maybe that's why, you know, I say I don't need a therapist because look both
ends. Yeah. Mm. It's true. I mean, back on the story, I think when we did the self-help book episode, we talked about the subtle art of not giving a fuck, right?
Yeah.
And I asked my friend, I said, I really don't give a fuck. Why I don't read this book? Yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, but I want to double down on the point that you just said, right? Because I run the financial podcast, right? And then everybody that we interview, they walk in probably like way more than us, right? They're worth way more. So sometimes when I try to use certain hosts, right, or new hosts, you know, a lot of them will hold these guys on a pedestal. Because this guy made a lot of money, but then they don't dare to ask, they don't dare to probe, right? But I rewire my brain. So this person, probably a wife got problem, got dog problem, you know, quarrel with the partner the other day, blah blah blah, shitting, constipation, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like I try to humanize the individual. He's very good, or he or she is very good at what they do. That's why we are having this conversation, right? If you're not good, then why are we here, right? I'm here to focus on this narrow part that you're very good at. I want to learn. But I humanize you by recognizing that, you know, that you are also human. There are many other problems that exist in your life. So I pull the person down from the pedestal. That's why I dare to ask very silly question, you know, like just ask. Then, so I think that's kind
of
where...
Which is, in the world of learning, it's called your focus is your reality.
Wait, what's silly on? Question? Like see strength, is it? Or
it's
silly?
It's more like a very... Very controversial. I dare to give a
curveball. Ask the questions that people don't dare.
Difficult questions that people don't dare to ask, and I don't feel.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're responsible to your audience, right?
Yeah, representing them.
So his example was a car. What are your examples of stuff that you feel compelled?
Entertainment cost.
In
my business, we have to take clients out.
Oh yeah, I saw your stories. Wow, very exciting.
Yeah, but I love.
But your entertainment cost is quite cheap. I thought you bring to the hawker center.
Thank God. Oh, but hawker center also inflation, ma.
I saw the restaurant one.
I just noticed myself I think now omakase and all that. But I just feel that it's also me being lazy. Like, because by default, I want to make you feel good. I want to show you that I respect you. I treat you well, right? So the best thing to do is just treat that expensive. Because, you know, default is if expensive equals you more value.
It's a signal.
But it's a lazy way for me. Because actually, if I put in a little bit more effort, maybe I think of something else.
Like your hawker one.
Let's say I want to wine and dine with Raymond. But now I know that, he's actually into cycling. Maybe I can plan a cycling route with all the very nice local food. But it takes effort, you see, to do that. And if I do that, a lot cheaper and I can lose weight, right or not? Yeah. So I think that's my cost.
You can go with me to the gym.
So I think my cost comes up because of convenience. I spend a lot of money because I want convenience. Convenience.
But you're also conscious of it, right? You're compelled, you also still do it anyway.
Also, in my mind, it's a bit more it's okay to have lifestyle inflation, but your income inflation better be higher than the lifestyle inflation.
Mm.
So that is what compels me to work harder.
Okay. Reggie, what about you?
I don't know. Although I say that I have no issue with lifestyle inflation, and I think it's an underlying driver for everybody or for many people, and I want to warn against prudence. Actually, I'm very prudent.
What about something that you see a lot of your friends falling for that later on then
travel,
they tell you actually have regret?
Travel.
They regret.
A lot of traveling.
Really?
I don't think they regret.
Why? Because they got COVID.
I don't think they regret, but more like I think a lot of people when they travel, they are really trying to just fill up or clarify an assumption in their head of this place. Right? So they go to all these touristy places, you know, they go there, take photo, you know, like all that, right? And then it's all about feeding an assumption, like Bali has to look like this, you know, like Phuket has to be like that, you know, like New York has to do this, you know. And they're not really there to kind of like discover the place and all that. So eventually, after multiple rounds of travel, if they end up traveling with me, which I do very long travels to try to embrace the place and try to suck up how is life like here, and then they'll be like, wow, I've been doing this wrong all the time, you know, because I don't then understand the place. You know, but I mean, some of my friends say, but you got a lot of time, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, those are also counter arguments, but we don't go there. Right. So to me, that is a part of expenses and lifestyle inflation. Like, I always want to go further, right?
But that's actually a very interesting point, because I think especially now in this age of social media, and I think people, when they post their pictures of them overseas. They don't do it to try and make you feel like you have to go there.
Yes.
But it's the, you know, insidious effect that comes out. So you're sharing out of pride, out of joy, out of memory, connection's sake. But to everyone, it's also creating that FOMO that, oh, now I feel like I have to go to that country, which, like, crash landing on you made us all want to go to Switzerland.
Yes.
Most of us would not have considered in the past. Yes. And then that's a real drain on our money.
Yeah.
You know, lately I've been thinking a lot about traveling and I realized that, oh my God, am I really traveling for the sake of traveling to experience? Or am I just traveling just to keep calm? And you kind of know it one when you travel is just to take pictures. You know how these phenomena sound? Oh, I need to take pictures. I see someone take a photo.
Yeah, I think I prove that.
You leave that place. You don't even sit down.
It's like a checklist.
Yeah.
I go to Japan just to go to Shibuya Crossing, take that photo and then
That is the kind of travel that I don't recommend, right? You're not really enjoying it. So some people even joke to me that, oh, these days when you go holiday, you must go twice. I say, huh? What do you mean by twice? They say, first time is to take pictures, second time is really enjoy the place.
Sad. Like watch movie like that, so right? Those people that watch movie watch three times. First time is to watch everything, second time focus on storytelling, third time is a cinematic. Have you not met those people?
Like, okay, that's hardcore. But it goes back to your question, right? Which is, what is a lifestyle inflation that you're compelled to? Is traveling, but the traveling to checklist or traveling just to take a picture to document, at least everybody did it, so I must also do it. Mm. Again, that kind of inflation, not worth it.
And I guess it's the motivation behind the traveling.
Correct.
So anyway, we identified some common culprits. Cars, travel for a checklist versus experience.
Entertainment.
Housing, potentially. Yeah. I one more that I wanted to contribute, which is a very female thing. Maybe that's why none of y'all thought about
which
it.
Which is?
Clothes.
I'm afraid to talk about it. That's why I was like, let's get
cancer. I think clothes because I'm female and I consume a lot of female social media content. Mm. And it's a huge conscious effort and energy to block out the stuff that I don't want to spend on. Mm. So I'm not going to name names because like later the lady bosses or like people cancel me because they are huge fans of the brand. But like I've seen a lot of people spending, let's say like my personal threshold, right? I get very uncomfortable with myself when I spend anything more than $20 or $30 on one piece of clothes. So ideally, right, if it's like a dress, I can kind of justify it because, well, I'm technically buying two pieces for the price of one, so I can spend a little bit more. But if it's like just, let's say, a sweater where I still need other pieces to wear with it, I'm like, shucks, this outfit now cost me like $150. That's way too much. Mm. So that's my personal threshold, right? I did increase lifetime inflation. Last time, the number used to be a lot smaller. Okay, then it keeps growing and growing. But like the other day, I was just telling my husband, and I was saying, wow, you know, I got served this ad for this top by one of my favorite brands. But how I only buy this brand when they are on sale. So I'm not like the lawyer, I support you so your brand never dies, but I just want, but at a discount. Mm. And I really want this, but I know it's new, it's so pretty. No, I couldn't find like a dupe for it on Shein or the Carousel or anywhere else. Mm. But it's freaking $38. Mm. And it's just one top. But I still need other pieces. And it was a lot of conscious effort. So my husband said, just buy lah. Not like you don't earn money, very poor man, something dollar only I buy for you. Then I said, it's not about you buy for me or I buy for myself. It's just that discomfort that I personally feel. Okay. Yeah, it's a me thing, not that it's the brand's fault or anyone's fault. And I think on social media, I realized it's okay for me because I'm very conscious and it's a lot of energy for me to fight all these influencers all the time. But a lot of other people who may not be as conscious, they just end up buying all these and later on, it was to my benefit because you know what?
Carousel.
I swoop in and I buy for cheap, right? But it's a regret for them. And it's a drain on their finances.
But can I ask you, I thought that now there's this trend of renting clothes, right? Does that help?
Yes and no, because it also depends. Like if you rent just once or twice, sometimes the cost is not cheap also, no? Like I have seen an outfit that I wanted to rent for $50.
I can buy a not exact but still quite nice
outfit for $30 on Carousel because someone bought and regretted, wore one time and regretted, and then I swooped in like an eagle.
And it's a Singapore phenomenon, yeah?
It's a Singapore
phenomenon. I went to multiple places that Carousel exists and tried to change your location to see what's there, right? Nothing much. Right? A lot of things there is like use a new.
But in Singapore,
Singapore is a lot. The Carousel in Singapore is tip top. You buy an oven, toaster, everything, all there. Because Singaporeans buy a lot.
Free love clothes, like, basically, they call them.
The overconsumption here is quite crazy.
Every corner, there's a shop. If you think about it. Wait, name me one MRT that you come up with no shop. Don't tell me Joo Koon. Because I've been there. You're really very no shop.
Fashion shop.
No, like any shop. Which MRT you come up with no shop?
Have. The TEL, because they haven't built yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, okay.
Okay. In time to come, yeah. In time to come, then the shops will pop up.
Yeah.
But I think like the clothing thing is one thing that have to be really conscious. Because like, I realized, I don't know if this is a guy versus girl thing, but for my husband who's very into clothes, like he's a peacock. And he always says like he loves having, his wardrobe is thicker than mine. And he's a guy, I'm a girl, no? That's the irony, right? But his wardrobe is thicker than mine. But he's not as inclined towards this. Like, he will go and buy a Levi's brand jeans because he just really wants a pair of jeans. But if I feel like I had to buy Levi's now, number one, it crosses my threshold, so it makes me very uncomfortable. Okay, but number two, I go into that shop because I'm like, oh, I just saw a lot of influencers wearing Levi's. I feel like I need to go and see. And then now that I'm in the shop, the person keep telling me, oh, you look very good, you should buy. And then I feel like I have to walk
out
with it.
That's what all shop assistants say.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing their job.
Conscious because like the moment I start to go down that route, I cannot get out. So I have to stop myself from even going down by recognizing the moment I see on social media.
But I think there's also nothing wrong with spending more on a piece of clothing or something if you know like it will last a longer time.
Most people won't use it as much. Mm. It's about utility cost, right? So the reason why I have that threshold is also because I align my utility cost at that level.
Mm.
Most people end up only wearing like once or twice. Or on Carousel, you see a lot of like BNIP, brand new in package.
Especially electronics. A lot of the lucky draw kind of thing.
A lot of my outfits are from Carousel.
Great. Okay, so I think we have went around different perspectives. I thought that was a great mix of perspectives. So in closing, right, answer is lifestyle inflation bad? After you hear all these different perspectives, what is your position? You can have a more nuanced answer than yes or no.
My answer is still no, but I recognize that it can be a motivation. But I come from the perspective that the power of lifestyle inflation and consumerism are more powerful than our individual self-control. So it's about recognizing it as a no so that I can empower my self-control to take charge and not become a victim, but become in control of it.
I remember like the OCBC published some report about like how many Singaporeans don't even have enough money to last 6 months.
Oh, I don't know how many percent. Right? It was like, quite significant.
It's quite a shocking amount. So in light of that, I'll just say, lifestyle inflation is probably bad for most people. Unless you're earning like a certain amount and you inflated your income to match your lifestyle expenses.
I think for me is use lifestyle inflation as a way to set your goals and then come up with tangible plans to get there.
Yeah. Dream big, but wake up.
Yeah.
Dream big, but wake up. Yeah. So, okay. As a financial podcaster, I do share that position. I don't think it's an off position. Like, you should guard against lifestyle inflation, all those things. I understand that. But yeah, from a nuanced view, I don't think my position has shifted. Okay. After this discussion, I just feel like I've added some nuance into the discussion on this idea. You definitely raised the fact that it could be a motivation for some people. I would argue that it's a motivation for a lot of people, right? It's just whether or not they're inflating the lifestyle in a way that serves them for a prolonged period or not. And I think that's the nuance.
And whether is it conscious or commercial?
Yes. So if it's your own conscious spending, great. Spend well. I think that is my camp. It's not about not spending, right? And recognize that you have limited willpower. The longer you suppress this thing, at the back, it can come back and bite you very seriously, right? But it does not mean that compounding is wrong. Does not mean that all these other things are off, okay? They are valid.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a little bit more nuance.
Thank you so much, man. Today I feel very blessed. Enlightened. Because
wise.
My wealth's gonna shine.
Great. Thank you guys. Love it. Yay. Yeah.